Now we're going to check in with the editorial board of the Arizona Republic. It's a regular segment where we talk about the big issues facing the state and the region, featured in the newspaper's viewpoint section. Last month, the American Library Association removed Laura Ingalls Wilder's name from its award for children's literature. Wilder is, of course, the author of the beloved Little House on the Prairie series. The ALA says it made the move because of some of the descriptions of Native Americans in those books. Republic editorial director Phil Boas wrote about that and joined me for his weekly appearance. And Phil, you say the ALA cracked open a Pandora's box. I'm curious, what got you thinking about this?
So I read another story on Friday about how the American Library Association, an arm of it, stripped the name of Laura Ingalls Wilder off of an award that they give out for children's literature. And they did it because she had some backward views on race that were expressed in her books, in her series of novels known as Little House on the Prairie. And some of those were really bad things to say about Native Americans. She had characters who said things like, the only good Indian is a dead Indian. She had a reference to there being no people on the plain, only Indians. Something that she corrected when a reader pointed it out to her. She was horrified and admitted she had blundered and had it change. But she had other characters referring to Indians in derogatory ways. And so they took the medal away. They felt like, or not the medal, but her name off of an award, and feeling like those weren't values we want to express today.
What kind of message do you think that sends when you take a historical figure like that and have this kind of reaction, you know, many, many, many decades later?
So after reading yet another story, as I noted, I decided to try a little experiment just because I know something about history. I read a lot of history. I love history. And that is that the people from our past, even the high achievers, come terribly flawed. They are products of their time. And the times that Laura Ingalls Wilder was describing in her books and the time when she was writing, which is roughly the 1940s, early 50s, she was living in an America that was racist, and the whole country was racist. You can go back in history and look at quotes from Abraham Lincoln that show that he clearly believed that blacks were inferior to whites. That being said, he did amazing progressive things in his life to advance the freedom of people of color. So, I mean, it requires some nuance and understanding and context to understand history. They didn't have what we had. They didn't have the full blooming of the civil rights movement. To say that they were racist is almost to say that they didn't know how to use a cell phone. I mean, because they didn't have the understanding that we're equipped with today.
And in your column, you point out a few other people who are generally regarded as good human beings, Andrew Carnegie, one of whom. They, too, had their flaws, and they also have some awards named after them by this organization, the ALA.
Right. So the ALA gives out an award, a medal, Andrew Carnegie medal for fiction and nonfiction. And Carnegie has a bit of a checkered past. He has some dark spots on his past where he was supporting with his money eugenics, which was a pseudoscience that was clearly racist, that really believed that you could control populations and maybe cull the undesirables out of your population, such as immigrants, such as people with disabilities, such as minorities. And it's not clear to me how much, how enthusiastically Carnegie embraced this whole thing, but it was his money and his name that was supporting it and gave it really one of its first big boosts very early in the century. But again, it was early in the century. The country was racist and really backwards in terms of civil rights, human rights. They didn't have a good understanding of it.
How do you think that we should be looking at people from the past now through the lens that we look at things now? You talk about people like Laura Ingalls Wilder, Andrew Carnegie, even people like Mark Twain, who, you know, his books did not always portray African Americans all that well. People like Woodrow Wilson. There was a big controversy about his statue at Princeton. How should we be looking at people and the views they held, you know, decades and centuries ago?
We shouldn't be afraid of their flaws. We should explain them. We should be upfront about them, and we should be clear in our moral objections to them today. But we need the context that they were living in a time where they didn't have the inputs that we have. They weren't learning in school about Martin Luther King and I Have a Dream. They didn't get any of that. That hadn't happened yet. You know, so they were in an earlier backwards retrograde moment in history, and they didn't get that. And so another piece of this that is important is I think it devalues the civil rights movement to act as though, you know, you just turned a switch and we had civil rights. No, it took generations of struggle, mostly people of color, making that happen, working hard, losing their lives to make that happen. And to argue that people are disqualified because they lived in a time, you know, or because they express views that aren't accepted today is wrong.
So do you consider this then maybe a teachable moment where you can look at someone like Laura Ingalls Wilder and, you know, generations of children have adored her books and continue to? Is this a chance maybe to say, okay, look, so let's take some of the stuff that she wrote and talk about maybe why she wrote it and what the thinking was at the time and maybe why that's not something that is acceptable now?
Right. Well, there were some people who never rose above the grubby racism and sins of their era. Laura Ingalls Wilder did. I mean, she did great things. She created this series of books that has brought joy to generations of American girls. And Andrew Carnegie was a great man as well, who gave away his personal fortune at the end of his life, something like $350 million, to do good around not only the United States, but Great Britain and the other parts of the English-speaking world. So they did great things in their life, and they rose above their own personal and generational flaws.
All right. That's Phil Boas, editorial page editor of the Arizona Republic. Phil, good to see you. Thanks for coming in.
Likewise.